Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, Saturdays were meant for me.
Yeah. No. It's not Saturday. It's Faye Day.
Faye Day. I like that. Well, you know, my little grandson, my tennis shoes have been squeaky lately. He said, I'm going to name you Mrs. Squeaky.
Yeah.
Because when I go across the floor, he can hear me coming. He said, it's Mrs. Squeaky.
Wow.
Oh, and he had a deal this week at school that he had to pick an animal and do stories about it. Well, of course, as you know, we have llamas. So they built a backdrop with Andes Mountains in the back. They put the llamas in. And then they did the bears that are from the Andes Mountains.
Really?
So, yeah, it was the cutest thing. I love the mountains they built inside his little project. And then he had to write a story about them. Well, for him, he knows all about llamas, you know. So he wrote a nice little story about them. And,
wow.
Yeah.
So it's a whole, like a whole, the story, the visual, the whole concept from
top
to bottom.
Yes, he did the whole thing.
Wow.
He knows that we've been using the poop, you know, on the grass. He included that in his story. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. And we were telling him that really wasn't necessary. They said, you don't really have to tell him about that. Oh, man.
It's all in the
and
details.
He thought that was important.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he wanted to tell him about that.
That's important.
He said it was. He said that's, you know, about his llamas.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, it's important to fertilize and, you know, take care.
I guess he thought so. He said, well, I've got to tell him about that.
Yeah.
I thought, well, we could have left that out. Might not have been really important, you know.
Yeah, but it's all for the entertainment value.
That's exactly right. And with him, that comes first.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's awesome. That is fantastic. That's really creative. So he had to come up with the whole story and the visuals and all of it.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
And the bears and the llamas. And his llamas were gorgeous. His bears. He had a mama bear and a baby bear.
Wow.
And, yeah, and it was a specific kind of bear that is in the Andes Mountains.
Wow.
So all the animals came from there. And he told them the story of, you know, them being brought to the United States and, you know, how llamas worked.
Wow. How neat.
Yeah. So naturally, I'm glad he picked something he knew something about.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow. He may end up being like a zoologist or something. When he grows up.
Temporarily. Remember, this boy is into basketball and soccer.
Oh, yeah.
That's his favorite things in the world. So, you know, he might have to do both. You can't ever tell.
Well, he clearly has a lot of knowledge and loves animals, llamas and whatnot. But so, I mean...
Oh, yeah, he loves his llamas. Well, I was going to tell you, next door, you know, the little deal I check on every once in a while, I read it this week online, and it's so funny. I've got to tell you about it. The first thing I came across was this lady wanted to rent some goats. She said, does anybody have any goats I can rent for my yard? I don't want to have to use a mower. Would you rent me your goats? Can you believe that?
Are you serious? She wanted to rent goats to mow the
grass. Only out here would somebody ask somebody to rent their goats. Oh, my gosh.
We
had Poncho the rooster is lost. And they sent a picture out of the rooster that's lost. Then they put a story with it. And they said, please, Poncho, please come home. The girls miss you. And they said, we know you wanted to be number one, and we just didn't understand it. And said, we'll get rid of the other rooster if you just come home. Only on the neighborhood would you see that.
Wow.
Then the next one was a turtle. These people found somebody's turtle. And they said, we'll hold it for you if you just describe it, you can have your turtle. I mean, people do not have enough to do out here.
Clearly. Wow.
And then the last one, they found a lizard, but he had a cut on his head. They said, can you tell us what we can do with this lizard that's got the cut on his head? I go, these people need to go back to bed.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they don't have anything to do. Oh, my gosh. I mean, and the other day, as we're driving down the road, there's a turtle out there.
Oh, boy.
The car in front swerves. We have to swerve. Somebody has to stop and get out and get the turtle out of the road. I mean, that's the kind of place it is.
Wow. This is almost as good or better than the police blotter.
It is. It's as good as the police blotter. And then we have the goose that's been at the shopping center, I know, 3 or 4 years. And she hatches her eggs there every year. And they finally put a little fence around it and said, you know, do not disturb. And she goes, and every spring she has these eggs, and she stays on them till they hatch. Then she takes the babies off somewhere.
Yeah.
And this week they couldn't find her. She was missing off her nest, and everybody went crazy. Where is the goose at? Where could mommy be? You know, she's not on her eggs. So I don't know if somebody scared her off, or if she had to go visit someone. I didn't think she ever left the eggs till they were hatched.
she had to go visit someone.
I couldn't imagine why she left. You know, what happened?
So,
because everybody knows not to bother.
So the eggs are still there.
She's been coming there for years. I mean, you know, what can I say?
This
is the nuttiest place, you know. It makes the Beverly Hillbillies look sophisticated.
Goodness gracious. Wow. And they still don't. So the eggs are there, but the goose is gone, and they can't.
The goose is not there. Can't. Everybody's really worried about her.
Oh, wow.
The eggs are there, but there's nobody sitting on them.
Wow. Well, surely.
But I want to know if anybody rented their goats out to this place.
Yeah, somebody needs to do a follow-up.
I mean, that's the funniest thing I ever heard in my life, asking somebody if they can rent their goats to clean up the yard. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I've honestly never heard that before until today.
Yeah, I never heard it in my life. And, you know, the rooster, I mean, they're putting a note to the rooster. on next door, you know, the ladies miss you. Come home. We'll get rid of the other rooster if you'll just come home.
Wow.
We didn't know that you wanted to be the only one here.
And all
that
this
woman has got to be.
This was just in 1 week.
This is in 1 week. This is all the things I've read this week.
Wow.
On next door.
Wow. Between the turtle, the goose, Poncho the rooster, and renting goats, where do you live anyway?
I mean,
if anybody else.
Far, far away.
Yeah, really. Wow. If anybody else besides you was telling this story, they would think it was all made up. But I know that this is all true because it only happens
to you. It is all true. And they always put the pictures out. That's what just gets me. Poncho the rooster was real pretty. He had a lot of pretty colors on him. The turtle, somebody had painted some red on the top of the turtle. Now, I don't know what that means, but can you imagine? They put it on next door. We have found your turtle. If you can identify him, you can have him. We'll hold him till you call.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And then they found the lizard, but he had a cut on his head. What do we do for the lizard?
Neosporin and a Band-Aid.
Yeah, I don't know about putting a Band-Aid on a turtle, but, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Or a lizard either.
Wow.
But I wouldn't even have picked up a lizard, you know. I would have left him alone, even though he had a cut on his head.
Yeah.
I don't believe I'd have taken him home with me.
No. No, probably not.
You know, I'd have said, you know, he's a wild creature. He needs to be left alone.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. It's been a big week for you, hasn't it?
It's been a big week. We have a lot of things going on, you know, important things.
Wow. Oh,
I mean,
wow.
What could be more important than finding somebody's rooster for them or some little child that lost the turtle? You know, I mean, I wanted to see the goats. Somebody put their goats in a trailer and take them over to this lady's house. That's just, oh, my gosh.
Is this a normal week, or is this just really weird and strange?
No, I think it's just a normal week. I don't always get to read it all. But this week I read it all, and I was just laughing. I go, I cannot believe all this. You know, it's just too much for me.
Only in your
world. There wasn't enough going on.
Yeah. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You realize nothing you say at this point is going to top that.
I think you're right. There is nothing going to top the story for this morning.
Oh, wow. But there is some exciting news. Do you want to get right to the big announcement?
Well, we've got the big policy. We've closed it. That's done. We've got about 60 people in it.
Nice.
It's wonderful news. You know, getting that close, getting everybody to come together for it. And now we've moved to the next policy that's about 16 months.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to do a real short one now that we've done that one that took so much money and so much time. This one is like 16 months. They have lung cancer and brain cancer. I think the brain cancer is what's going to kill them. It seems to be much worse, and they told him he could do radiation, and he refused the radiation. He's 62. He's very young.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird. And 16 months, I mean, you don't usually get policies that short.
Every once in a while we do, but usually they fill up before I can even talk about them.
Wow. All right.
And so I wanted to mention that this morning. There might be a little bit left by Monday morning, but it appears to me to be a good policy. I had 3 life expectancies on it, which is unusual.
Really?
Yeah. They sent me 3. And they were all just about the same. You know, there wasn't any, a wide discrepancy in any of them.
Why? How did you happen to get 3? Is that, I mean, that's not a normal
thing.
Well,
if it's a million, you know, we require 2. But they had a 3rd one, so they sent it also.
Wow. Just out of, I guess, courtesy?
I think it was a courtesy deal. They said, oh, well, we've got this other one. We'll just send it too.
Wow.
But it wasn't as detailed, so I really wasn't interested in it. You know, I wanted the detailed ones.
Hmm.
That described, you know, from beginning to end.
And this one's 16 months, you said? How much is it?
16 months. It's $1 million.
Okay. All right. Wow. That's big. That's a lot of stuff that happened in the last several days. I mean, filling that big one, I know that was a huge policy. And now you're already on to the next one. Golly, you're moving at lightning speed here.
That's right. It just... We'd bid it quite a while ago, and the guy just finally accepted our offer.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. All right. So it's so weird because the other one, you were trying to fill it, and now this one is almost full before we even have a chance to even mention
That's
it.
That's right.
Wow. Cool. Good deal. Well, then it sounds like there's going to be a lot of investors that are pretty happy because they're in some really good policies now.
They're in some really good ones. We've got a bunch of good ones coming, and it's going to make them some money. And we're, you know, look at all the maturities we had this month. My gosh, we had 4 maturities this month.
Really?
They just kept coming. And I believe all of the money is in the bank by now. I think we were waiting on one, but I believe that it's all in the bank.
Wow, 4 in 1 month?
And I had one customer that we'd notified him of 3. And so then I called them and was talking to them, and they said, oh, no, that's not the name. I said, it is, too. And come to find out, she didn't know she'd had a 4th one mature.
Wow.
She knew about 3. She just didn't know about the 4th one.
Well, it was a nice surprise.
It was a nice surprise. I love it when we have so many coming in that they don't know how many they've actually had. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I know it.
Yeah, I mean, and you're going, oh, you mean I have another one, a different name? Yes.
What? I have more money?
The way it works. That's right. More money.
Wow. Yeah, I would say that would make anybody's day. Wow. Do people sometimes forget that they're in policies until they mature?
No, what happens is they know, but they forget what the names are on sometimes.
Ah,
And so then we notify them. They go, oh, yeah, that's who that was, you know, because we've had so many mature lately. And, you know, two of them were early and the others were on time on this last batch. None of them went over. Now, the month before, we had some that went over, and they matured. But these other three were on time and early. That one, it was supposed to be like 20-something months, I believe, and he lasted 7 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it didn't even go a year.
Jeez.
So that was a very good policy.
Wow. Yeah, you know, because I sit here and I think, and I guess I've got some new questions now. I know you say all the time that the investors that are doing the best, that have made the most money, are the ones that are, you know, so well diversified and in so many different policies. I guess I just never really thought about, do they watch them like a hawk, or do they kind of get in and kind of, like, I guess, forget about it? And then when they mature,
they don't watch them like a hawk, but every 3 or 4 months they'll think about them, you know, and ask questions. And then we send them, if we have new life expectancies, we send them. If it's the current one, we'll send them that. If they want to talk about it, we'll talk about it. You know, whatever they need.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I know that, you know, because my brain is so full and I have so much going on all the time, and I forget, like, really simple things. And so I would be one of those that, like, if, especially if you're in like 15 or 20 policies at any time, I'd be one that would be, you know, okay, I want in, and then kind of go about my day and then forget about it. And then all of a sudden, you know, get some notification that, you know, it's matured and the money will be in your account. And I'd be like, oh, neat. Surprise. I forgot about that one. That's kind of how I would be, just because of my brain. I didn't know if other people were the same way, or you know, how much, you know.
Well, now that we've got this new company that we've had for several months now doing everything, I don't know, but I know this. 2 weeks ago, they informed us of a death, and they've already got the death certificate back, and we've got paid.
Within 2 weeks?
Less than 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yes, they're doing an excellent job. They're catching every one of these the week that they die, we're being told.
Golly,
and of
that's
course,
fast.
And I'm following this old one that we've had so long. I set it up where I get a copy of obituaries from his hometown every day. I mean, I'm checking obituaries on a daily basis. I've never done that before, but I am on this one.
Wow.
I'm checking it daily because of his age.
Is that the one where Flint went to?
That's right. Okay. Aiken, South Carolina. Aiken.
Wow.
And I check obituaries every morning. I'm determined I'm going to know about that as soon as it happens.
Yeah. You're going to know before he does.
I mean, I'm going to know right after his wife tells everybody about it, I can tell you.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah, you don't have many of those old policies anymore, do you? I mean,
no, we're almost through with old policies.
Yeah.
And I'm just following it like, you know, daily right now.
Yeah. And once those roll off, then it's like you've got all you've got left is, I shouldn't say it like that because it's a good thing, but the ones that you've got left after that are all these new policies with the new systems or the new processes or the new company. I don't know how to phrase it, but these new really, really good policies that are, you know, the LEs are, you know, spectacular. The payouts are timely. They're fast. It's like, all these improvements are like in hyper overdrive with all these.
I love
policies.
The improvements. It's really made a difference. Getting people paid quicker, getting us notified quicker, that has helped so much.
Yeah. It's a whole new game than what it was even a couple of years ago. It's just fantastic.
That's exactly right.
Wow. Well, Well, then that's great. For new investors, if they want to come over, if they want to get into things that are a little bit more conservative, how long would it take for, say, a new investor to get set up, get into policies, things like that?
Probably a week right now.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, we've got it down to about a week.
Oh, wow.
Unless I fill all these policies before they come in, then it'd be, you know, a couple, 3 weeks. But it looks like right now I could do it in a week.
Wow. That seems faster than it's ever been, isn't it?
It is faster than it's ever been. Because if they come by the office, or if we have to send the papers out to them, if they live out of town, you know, we'd FedEx the papers, they'd sign them, send them back, and we'd send them to Nevada Trust. And a lot, most people put a check with their application. That makes it really fast. If they put a check in the envelope that's going to Nevada Trust, we can have them in business in a week. Now, if it's coming from a brokerage house, it's going to take about 12 days.
Still, even though that's, I mean, that's
yeah, I mean, brokerage houses are known for how slow they move. They're not in any hurry if the money's going out.
Yeah.
They're not in any hurry. So you have to consider that. But most people write a check. Now, a few people have a 401 or an IRA somewhere, and we move that over, and it takes a few more days.
Yeah. But still, I mean, it's a pretty quick process, and I guess, I don't know if it's gotten, has it gotten faster over the years, or am I just?
It is faster than it used to be, yes.
Okay. All right. So
the documentation's gotten simpler.
Let's run down a life settlement, because I know you've had some new investors come over because they have heard you talking about things, and they have kind of, you know, understood that, you know, hey, things in the stock market, they're a little bit, you know, uncertain at any time. Anything could happen. And as people get closer to retirement, they're looking for a little bit more conservative, a little bit more safety types of investments. So let's run down some of the big features about a life settlement. What are some of the big, like, I don't know, like some of the big like tax benefits, you know, for example?
There's if it's an IRA and you come over and put your IRA with us, you're not going to pay taxes on this for years and years. So it's going to grow a lot quicker if you're not paying taxes. And the safety feature, that's what I love about it. You're investing in a life insurance policy. It's different than the stock market. It doesn't have the ups and downs. Because when you go in, the life insurance company is going to pay you the face amount of the policy. They're not going to discount it. They're not going to say, oh, you need to take less money. We're dealing with huge life insurance companies. We know they'll pay off. We're talking about A-plus companies. Every once in a while, we'll do a policy with Genworth. They're worth $2 billion, and they are a big company. But most of ours are A and A-plus companies that we do business with. They've all been in business 50 to 100 years.
Wow.
So, you know, we know them. We know their strengths. We check them before we buy the policy. We look and see who it's with and make sure it's a good company. So you've got all kinds of safety features on a life settlement. Then you've got the profit. I think the profit is so much better than any other investment and being conservative, too. It pays 1% a month. So if it's a 24-month policy, you'll make 24%. If it's 15 months, you'll make at least 15, plus it may be a little more than that. Most of our short-term ones, if it says 15, we'll pay 18 or 19. So the profit is there. It's substantial. You're going to make more than you would anywhere else.
Yeah.
So a life settlement, I can't recommend it enough. It's conservative. It's safe. It's in a life insurance policy, and it's handled by the bank. Nevada Trust handles every account. They do the payout. They pay the premiums. Nobody in the industry has all the safety features that this investment has.
Yeah, you mentioned premiums. It's important to know that when you're looking at, you know, policies to bid on, you're looking at those premiums. You're looking for very low premiums because you don't want to, you know, eat up all the profit in premiums. So you're looking at that. That's a factor that you actually take into consideration before you even
it's a big factor
bid on a policy.
When we're doing going over all this. We look first. We're not even going to talk about buying the policy from somebody if the premiums are over 3%. Mm. And we're trying to stay under 2%. We learned the hard way. You can't have a high premium and make money. You've got to keep it down. And then we buy some, like the $6 million deal we just did, had no premium due. We're home free on that.
Yeah.
So that's really an important deal. That's a big savings right there. And it's a big, it was a big factor to everybody going in.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it is a big deal. I would imagine probably that's one of the first things people, maybe they don't. That's probably more of a question than a statement.
Profit, I think, is the first thing. Then they look and see what kind of cancer it is.
Mm-hmm.
How does it work? What's my profit? That's number one. Then what is the expense? Is it going to cost anything? And then you look, oh, it's just 0.25%. So you know that the premium can't hurt you. Maybe it's 0.5%. Whatever it is, we tell you in advance. We never not divulge everything. You're going to know everything about the policy before you buy it.
Yeah, it's a very well-informed investment, and people know a lot of information. They can get all that. They don't have to be, have a medical degree to understand it. In fact, if they have any questions, they can call you, and you can kind of go over some things. But as people do more and more life settlements over the years, they kind of start to understand a little bit more. They kind of get the big picture of, what type of policy they're getting into. I'm trying to get to something, and I'm not quite sure how to ask it. So when people, this is really kind of directed towards new investors. When people look at a policy, you get a policy, and you put it out there for people to get in on. When they're looking at the documentation, they don't need to have a medical background to understand it. It doesn't take a lot of in-depth knowledge.
Now, we've got reports from doctors that tell you everything you need. And then we also have the backup medical that we read. The other day, that one I read was 2,000 pages.
Oh, wow.
And it took me a long time to get through it, I'm going to tell you.
Good Lord.
But it tells you things that maybe the LE left off. It was true the other day on one of the policies we did. When I read the doctor report and the different kinds of cancer and how bad it was, I go, well, I understand this policy completely. The guys eat up with cancer, but it didn't say it on the LE for some reason.
Really?
And then when I read the doctor report, they said it's incurable.
Mm.
And this $1 million one on the report was the fact that on the brain cancer, they wanted him to do radiation. He wouldn't do it. And they said the chances are very good you might survive if you'll do the radiation, and he refused.
Wow. That's weird.
And the brain cancer was worse than the lung cancer.
Yeah. And there are specific types of policies that most investors, including yourself, are drawn to the most. Which ones are people most drawn to that tend to fill the quickest types of policies?
Well, stomach cancer, pancreatic cancer, rectal cancer, colon cancer. These are our big ones. And then throat cancer, esophagus cancer.
Mm.
Those are deadly. I mean, you don't even have to talk about them. It's deadly. If they have esophagus cancer, throat cancer, the ones we've done all came in early. And then breast cancer. We've done more breast cancer, I'll bet, than anybody. And one of them has went over on all the ones we've done.
Really? Only one of
because
all these?
Because women try to save them. And lots of times they will not do a mastectomy. They go to Mexico. And time they get back, if it on the report says Mexico, I say buy it immediately because they're going to die. If you've wasted 4 months in Mexico, you can't save yourself because they don't have all this groundbreaking medicine and different things you can take over here in the States. And women don't get it. They just, oh, I'll go to Mexico because they won't cut on me. They're not going to cut on you, but they're going to leave you to die. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And they don't mean to. It's just they don't have the same same things we have.
Yeah. So those are some of the things that you look at. You also look at their lifestyle. So if somebody's out playing golf, say, you're probably going to...
We're not taking them, no.
Yeah. You're going to steer away from something like that. So,
and then we look at their BMI. If it's 35, you're obese. And the doctors say if you're obese, the medicine can't even get through all this fat.
Really?
You know, you're going to be in bad shape. And then we look to see how many pounds you've lost. A friend of mine does not have a dreaded disease, but he's down to 110 pounds.
Really?
Yes. And it's because of all the things that's happened to him. I don't know how long he's going to make it, but he's fighting like heck. He's doing everything he knows, but he fell on a parking lot and hit his head.
Wow.
The rocks were not stationary. And
wow.
They knew better. If a woman with heels had hit it, they would have fallen. Anybody would have. And anyway, he's recovering from all that. And he told me he weighed 110 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
How can you get down to that and still survive? But he's still up and going. I need him to do some things for me this week. He said, let me get my pants on or go do it. I mean, he's a tough buzzard, let me tell you. He's tough.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that sounds great. It sounds like he's in a great, you know, mind frame, state of mind.
His mind frame is, let's get this done and let me go home. You know? I'm in rehab. Let's do it quickly and just get this over with, you know?
Yeah, really. All right, so I guess the bottom line, some of the big benefits of life settlements are not only that it's conservative, but people don't have to worry about anything affecting it. So if, say, the stock market crashes or, you know, something weird happens overseas or some global something happens that can shake up the stock market, a life settlement holds its value. They've got the resources on hand so that if they had to pay out all the policies all at once in one day, they could. They're not, you know, they don't lend out money for this and that and the other thing. They're not into, you know, construction loans or anything like that. And so it's a very, very conservative, solid investment for people looking for some kind of, I guess, security in their investments. Is that correct?
That's right. If you're looking for security, a life settlement is a good investment. I had a gentleman call me this week, and I talked to him about it. He said, I need to set up something for my grandchildren, and I want it to be conservative. I have other people, when they come to me, they say, look, I'm getting out of the stock market. I'm getting too old to be in the stock market. You know, I do not want to go into land, and I don't want to have to manage it. So that's why they come and do a life settlement, because they don't have to manage this. It's not like managing cows or real estate or, you know, anything that you've had in the past.
Yeah.
And most of these people have made their money, you know, in other things other than the stock market. And then they somehow graduated over to the stock market, you know, after they made their money solidly, like either in oil and gas, ranching, a business, and then somebody talked them into going to the stock market.
Mm.
And then you're 1,000% at risk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can see what the market's been doing the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's been on a bit of a roller coaster. And life settlements, you know, you're looking at higher returns and diversification. I would imagine probably those two things in themselves are big draws for people as well.
Yeah, and I tell everybody, we can't put 100% of your money in one policy.
Yeah.
You've got to be diversified. You've got to have several policies to pay off, to make it worth your time. You need something that's rotating all the time. And that's the good thing about it. You can rotate it in, you can rotate it back out. You know, the other day we had four policies that matured that went into the bank within a 2-week period.
Wow.
So a lot of people got paid a lot of money.
Yeah. And so it's kind of, I guess the to summarize life settlements and then do a little compare and contrast, the returns are higher. They're not, you can't set your watch to it. You know, policies mature when they mature, but the returns are pretty aggressive. So they're pretty big. Annuities, on the other hand, they're still conservative, but they're a little bit more consistent for payouts. Am I saying that the right way? Is that?
Well, an annuity, if you're 70 or above, an annuity is a good thing because it's going to be tried and true. In other words, it pays around 10% up or down every year. We went back and it's averaged 10% over the last 10 years. Some years it paid a lot more. Some years it paid a lot less. But it's a conservative investment. If you've got the right annuity company, you're going to be okay. But some annuity companies are different. And ours locks it in once a year or every 2 years, whichever way you choose. But all that interest is locked in. It didn't go anywhere. You don't give it back up like you do in the stock market. And the companies that we use, as I said, they're old line life insurance companies. They're A-plus, the very best of the best. They've been in business from 50 to 100 years. Hmm. So you can count on them. You know that they're reliable. You know that you'll get your payout. After the first year, you can start taking money out. Oh, and they've increased bonuses again.
Really?
You can get a 13% bonus for everything you put in it for 3 years.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, 13%. And I just forgot to say it because I just got the message this week that they were going to pay 13% everything you put in the next 3 years.
Wow. Cool. I always ask you about the bonuses. I've forgotten. That's the week they increase it.
That's the week they agreed to that. And not only will you get the 13, you can go ahead and put it in fixed rate besides that. So you can end up with 19% that first year.
Wow, 19%. Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal. That's a really
big deal. It's a big deal. And I had some companies come to me this week, and they were offering me 25% bonus. But you know what? They were small little companies. And I wouldn't do that with a small company, let me tell you. I want a big, huge company with billions of assets behind it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I want to know that it's tried and true. I want to know that I can depend on it when I need my money.
Yeah.
And that's why you do business with the big companies. You know, we've been doing annuities for 24 years.
Really?
We have about $20 million of investments in annuities.
Seriously? That's.
Yeah. And people like their annuities. The ones I've done, I think they're all pretty happy. I know the ones that that I've talked to are, and you know, they keep getting their payouts. They're happy with the payout. They're happy with their interest rates. And it's a long-term, steady money. It's not going to go up and down like the stock market. And you know that your money's always safe in an annuity. It mirrors the stock market, but it doesn't ever get involved in the stock market.
Yeah. So if the stock market, if something terrible happens, you know, Monday morning, the bottom drops out, people in these annuities, they don't have to worry about that. That's not going to happen. There's that safety net there to protect.
They have a safety net that no other company has got. So if you stick with annuities after you get older, you don't have to worry about your money. You don't have to worry about losing it. You're not involved in any risky scheme. You're involved in an annuity which is safe. And it's not a variable annuity. So as long as you stay away from variable annuities, you're okay. These are fixed index annuities. Been around a long, long time.
Yeah. And they're solid, and they can go up, but they cannot go down.
That's exactly right. If the market goes up, it'll slide right up with it. If the market goes down, it just goes on hold and stays there.
Yeah, you don't have to.
You won't lose anything. Yeah, you don't lose anything. So I highly recommend them for people that are 70 and over.
It's important to protect the principal, I think. I think we used to talk about, you know, protecting your principal, and both of them, life settlements and annuities, both do that so that you don't have to worry about, because I know people in the stock market, they'll get up at midnight, 2 in the morning, just to see if they have anything left. And with either of these investment opportunities, they don't have to worry about that. I would imagine people's anxiety and nerves are much calmer when they're doing something like these. And knowing that everything is there and it's solid and they haven't lost everything overnight is probably a pretty good feeling for most people, I would imagine.
Well, and think about it this way. If you're busy every day, you're semi-retired, you don't want to worry about your money. You want to go play golf. You want to have some fun. Yeah, you want to visit the grandkids. All these things are doable if you've got annuities when you get older because you don't have to worry about it. They're going to pay you. What, it doesn't matter what you're doing every day. You know, you can be at the golf course. You can be at the lake. You can be doing a lot of things. But the annuity is a hold. It'll hold your money. It'll pay you no matter what you're doing. If you're in the stock market, you can have a crisis every other day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you want it to be steady, steady as it goes.
It's essentially mailbox money. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to check it. You don't have to monitor it. It takes no involvement. It doesn't take – you can go and live your life and just, you know, wait for the money to come in, essentially. So both
and
of them.
I know several people that have retired, and we've got a couple of annuities for them. They're drawing out of both of their annuities now, and it's plenty of money, you know. We have a his annuity, her annuity, you know, based on – their IRAs that they put in these. So, you know, you're only paying taxes as you're taking it out. So it's the best of all worlds.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And it's consistent. Yeah, I think people probably enjoy the consistency of annuities as well, I would imagine.
And the safety.
Safety
is number one of your money.
Mm-hmm. Safety and consistency. That's key. So both of them are great options for anybody that, you know, is tired of the stock market, looking for something more conservative, doesn't want to wake up tomorrow morning and have to go back to work at, you know, age 75. You don't want to have to do that. You want to go enjoy your life. And these are great ways to get you there. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. It's got a lot of great things on there. It has what we've made in the past. If you have questions about life settlements, it tells you about life settlements. It tells you about annuities. Let's say you have a policy you need to sell. We never talk about that. Let's say you do have cancer. And you're looking for funds, and you're saying, what do I have that I can liquidate? Your life insurance policy. If you liquidate that with us, we'll get the money to you quickly. We have to study it, of course, have our doctors go over it. But if everything is right and you're not over 76 years old, we'll look at your life policy. We would be interested in and be glad to buy it from you. If everything's right.
Yeah. And that's a big deal because people, when you can eliminate the middleman, I guess, for lack of a better term, there's obviously people, you know, obviously do better that way. So it's less overhead, I guess.
And instead of instead of selling it to somebody out of state, I mean, far out of state, you know, you can do business right here locally with us. It doesn't take as long. And we're going to pay you probably the highest dollar in the industry, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good point. Really good point. And we don't bring
because
that up.
Because once a year, we can see what these companies have been paying. Mm-hmm. And I know what they're paying, and it's not very much at all. And I know we pay more than most of the companies. So if you've got a policy you need to sell and you have cancer, contact us, and we'll be glad to talk to you.
Cool. All right. Every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
It's an unusual topic.
Oh, of course.
It's a story of Daniel Webster Wallace. He was born in bondage. By the time of his death, he had amassed a fortune. I mean, a doggone fortune. He started out as a slave. His parents were slaves. And it wasn't but a year that the people they worked for started paying them. And, you know, it was great. They then paid his mother and his father, and then they paid him to work in the cotton fields. And that was right here in Texas. So it's very unusual the way he got started. So the Wallaces, who they were working for, Daniels, put him to work in the cotton fields. He did not like it, did not want to do it. And these people that they were working for, the O'Daniels, they moved to a large farm about 80 miles north outside of Fredonia, and they became employees. His mother was saving her coins, and someday she was going to buy real estate. And, oh, 80 John, that's what they named him, 80 John. He said, I'm going to own a spread someday. He hated chopping cotton. And there was cattle drives passing through all the time. And he decided that was his escape route. And a lot of the cowboys he saw, they were black. So one morning in March of 1876, he ran away and joined a crew moving cattle 300 miles northwest. They were going to Buffalo Gap. He was green. He was just a kid. But by the time it reached its destination, he had a lot of experience. And thereafter, work was easy to find. He rode with the most famous and respected cattle barons of the time in Texas cattle industry. He rode the Chisholm Trail. He rode the Goodnight Loving Trail. He made none of it was easy. He contended with thunderstorms, blizzards, droughts, dust storms, outlaws, snakes.
Cool.
Sunstroke, lack of food and water.
Oh, my God.
And skirmishes with Native Americans.
Oh, wow.
He spent days tracking a handful of Comanches that stole one of his favorite horses. And so later, it was very diverse back then. They didn't ask the color of your skin on ranches. They said, can you do the job? Can you pull your weight? And they had more tolerance than any other places. And 20% and 30% of the cowboys were black. Then you had your Mexicans. But he stayed with it. And then he went to work for the Manns. Now, Clay Mann was one of the richest men in Texas back then. This was in 1871. And he was a white man, of course. He was a wheeler dealer. He was a legend in cow camps throughout the West. He owned tens of thousands of thousands of cattle, thousands of acres in Texas, New Mexico, and Wyoming. He owned a ranch in New Mexico that was 600,000 acres.
Wow. Oh.
But he was a drinker. And he liked to gamble. And so when they would sell the herds, he would turn to 80 John. Because he didn't drink, he didn't gamble, didn't do anything. And as they were heading these large drives, Clay would pay the hands, then give all the leftover money to 80 John to take back to his wife. And she'd deposit the money in the bank that he founded in Colorado City. And the guy would keep money out to gamble. And one time he gave Wallace $30,000 and said, take it to Midland. It was a three-day jail. So he made sure the money arrived safely.
Wow.
Man was so extensive, he had 43 cattle brands.
Jeez.
Huge number, 80. And 80 John oversaw the burning of the brands, and the Cattlemen's Association. In West Texas, his name was John. And they named him 80 John.
Wow.
And he did branding, bronc busting. He was his top employee. But he was freakishly good at arithmetic. He could have columns of numbers in his head. And so they used him for all their financial transactions. He hadn't even had a day in school at this point.
Wow, that's impressive.
And he said, I've got a method of figure my own. He said, stood me in good stead. And they said he rarely missed anything larger than a fraction.
Really?
And he could scan a pasture of hundreds of head of cattle and give you a count that wouldn't be off by more than a dozen animals.
Really?
Yeah. And 80 John told Man that his goal in life was to own land and a herd. So Mr. Man began setting aside the lion's share of his pay every week. And he started acquiring cattle. His first acreage was a 1,200-acre ranch that he bought.
Wow.
That was the first thing he ever owned. But he didn't know how to read and write. And he said, to become a successful rancher, I've got to learn to read and write. So he went to a segregated black school in Navarro County and went to the second grade and told them, right along with the kids, he said, I need to become literate. And he did.
Wow.
And then in 1890, Mr. Mann died from all that hard drinking and hard living. And 80 John took care of his cattle, became a father figure to his sons, established a bond with his family that lasted for generations.
Really?
So then him and his wife, when they got married, they started being as frugal as they could. They said, we've got to save every dime to buy more cattle and more land. And they just kept buying and buying. At the end, he had a ranch that had over 8,000 acres in it.
Holy moly.
He had $1 million in the bank.
Really?
This is a guy who only went to school short enough to learn to read and write.
Wow.
Yeah. And when he died, he left everything in trust for generations.
Man. Talk about...
And in 1903, he was admitted to the Cattle Raisers Association of Texas. He was the only black man during that era ever invited to join.
Really?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah.
And way back then, he had to board a segregated passenger car in Colorado City to go to Fort Worth. He had to find lodging at a so-called colored hotel because the white hotels, you know, would say, no, you can't do that. And the white men said, I've known John for 30 years, the cowman said. We ate and slept on the ground together.
Wow.
It makes it impossible for me to sit here now without him.
Wow.
So this guy has now been inducted into the National Heritage Center in Oklahoma, you know, the Cowboy Ranching Center in Oklahoma City, which is your most prestigious. And he's one of the few black people ever inducted.
Jeez. And talk about overcoming some hurdles in life. Wow.
He overcame everything. Can you imagine? You can't read, you can't write. And he just started out, you know, on a trail drive. But he met Mr. Mann and worked for him all those years, had him putting all of his money aside to buy land and to buy cattle.
Wow.
And then he lowered himself to go to the second grade because he said, I need to be able to read and write.
Yeah.
He said, I can't be a cattle owner and not be able to read and write when I go to the bank.
Yeah. So he had to fill in the gaps. I mean, he was a mathematical genius, it sounds like, but he needed, you know, some other skills, and so he went back and got them. Wow.
And they said he thought up ways to do water drilling, to do irrigation that in the 1800s was unheard of. They said he was really some sort of a genius in all the things he thought up that would help ranching.
Wow.
So, can you imagine?
I mean, not only did he do a lot for ranching in general, but, you know, he overcame all the obstacles, you know, of just living that lifestyle anyway, being out, you know, in nature like that, and then learned what he had to learn, recognized how to get from point A to point B, go get the skills, go do what he had to do, build it up, and still did all of that in an honest way with great character. I mean, it's just...
Yes, and they said he was so well thought of, right there at the end, he went to town, and he couldn't get on his horse. And all these white men rushed to him to get him on his horse.
Wow.
He was so well thought of that everybody really, really liked him and respected him for his ability. Apparently, the guy really had a superior brain for the 1800s. I can't imagine in the 1800s accomplishing all this because, you know, usually white people stuck with white people.
Yeah.
But after he worked for the Manns all those years, he was so respected, and he ran their entire ranching after Mr. Mann died. The kids didn't know how.
Yeah. Wow.
And he taught the children ranching, taught them how to be successful. In the meantime, he's getting more land all the time. And that's a huge ranch, 8,800 acres.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just blown away. And now he's recognized. And, I mean, that's just, I'm just, his natural ability, his intuition, his innovation, and his character and his foresight. And, I mean, all of the things, he's just like everything that anybody would want to be in themselves. Somebody really to look
well,
up
and
to.
You know, the Cowboy Hall of Fame in Oklahoma City is so famous, and you have to be famous, you know, to be mentioned there or to be get honored there.
Yeah.
And he has been honored there now, right alongside all the old cowboys from the 1800s.
Wow.
You know, his name is right up there with them. And, of course, what I think is so funny, years and years ago, when you had the Cattlemen's Association of Texas, he was a member.
I know.
They took him right in. He was so respected by everybody because of his ability, and he had so many abilities that anybody would have given their eye teeth to have possessed.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. And to start out the way he did and to end up where he did, it's mind-boggling, really.
And it's a good thing that he hated hoeing cotton.
Yeah.
He would have never run off and joined a trail herd if he hadn't hated hoeing cotton.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he said, man, I'm not for this. And then every day he was on a horse. He was working with cattle, with men. And like he said, all they want to know is, can you do the job?
Yeah.
They don't care what color you are. Can you do this?
That's all that mattered. Wow.
That's all that mattered. And he was more than equipped to handle all these things.
Wow.
And he had all these innovations that he did for this rancher to make his ranch more productive.
Hmm. Wow. He really contributed to society in so many different ways.
A lot. He really did.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I know we're running short on time, so I know we always like to go over the risk with the life settlement. What is the biggest risk?
The biggest risk is it could go over. If it goes over, you would have to pay premiums, unless it's one that says no premiums. But we always tell you what the risks are up front. So on that page, I think it's 5 from the last on your contract, it tells you your risk, your profit, what happens if it goes over. It tells you who the person is, what the amount of the policy is, what your profit is. It gives you all that information. We always put everything in writing.
All right.
And then the second risk would be it is not liquid until they pass away. It is not liquid till they pass. And then you get paid. You don't get interest like monthly or quarterly. You get it at the end of the term.
Yeah, and considering that people do need to be accredited, it's not really that big of a deal. We should probably run over accreditation real quick. What does that
mean? That's right. We haven't even talked about accreditation. You must be accredited to do this. In order to be accredited, you have to either make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million, and that is without your home.
Cool. All right. So whichever route people want to take, whether they're annuities or life settlements, both are conservative investments for people to either get started or get more information. They do need to call you. And one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.